What up, Stu?
What's up, Kevin? What are we're going to talk about something a little bit different today. Different than what we normally talk about.
Yep. So recently we went to a meditation retreat.
Yeah.
And we figured we'd talk a little bit about meditation, our experience with meditation. For me personally, I've been meditating for about 3 years very consistently.
Really?
Around 3 years.
Three years?
Yeah.
Wow, so you're experienced or relatively more experienced.
Yeah, I've always been very attracted to meditation for some reason. And mm-hmm. it was like kind of unknowingly. It was just like...
It wasn't religious for
like,
anything.
Yeah, no, like in the beginning... Well, I don't know if you would consider this religious, but like there, you know, the temple of Shilaisa, which
is
you know, near the Los Angeles area.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like this huge temple. And every time I would go there, like it'd be super peaceful for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so like I would go to like the main temple inside. It'd be a huge room, but it'd be very quiet, right? Where no one would bother you. And like there would be some days I'll just go there by myself and just sit there for an hour, just like in like peace.
Wow.
Yeah. But that's kind of how like I started meditating, and I just started doing it at home, and then eventually like having like a daily practice and things of that nature. But I've been practicing meditation for a long time. I know this was kind of your first time.
Yeah, we got me over here on the opposite side of the spectrum. I've been practicing for a good 3 days. Not quite 3 years. Yeah. 3 years versus 3 days.
What's your experience been like?
I got to tell you, man, I had my doubts. You know, I was a non-believer.
Why?
Just because this is my personal thing, my personal issue looking back now that I've done it. It's my closed-mindedness about the fact that meditation doesn't have to be religious. See, I've always felt that don't know why, but I've always associated with like you need to be like religious to meditate. I don't know why. It was just something that I saw as a kid. Like my mom would go to like Buddhism practices,
mm-hmm.
but it was like hardcore. Like you're kneeling on your knees for like a good 3-4 hours chanting gibberish that I have no idea what the fuck they're saying.
Yeah.
But and just eating just very bland vegetable food. But not all religions is like that, mm-hmm. right? Like I think she went to a more extreme type. So as a young kid, I may have gotten the wrong impression, the idea that like, okay, so all practices are like that. The one we went to was pretty cool.
Yeah.
It was more casual.
Yeah.
It got pretty hardcore, but it was a very nice and relaxed and like calming atmosphere. Mm-hmm. Even in like the quote unquote temple house that we went to. I don't even know if that's considered a temple.
Well, yeah, it's a temple. Yeah.
It's a nice old, like not Victorian era house, but it was pretty interesting to get in there.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, at least, when I stepped through the door, like with you into that place, I felt like, wow, this place has a, I don't know if it's a placebo effect, whether it is or not. It gave me a, what you said, a calming effect. I was like, there's not a lot of electronic appliances here.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like it's very quiet. And you almost don't even need any AC or heaters to kind of keep the temperature like at a very, very nice sort of level, you know, and it was just really interesting.
Yeah.
And then I guess we went into what kind of meditation would this be called? Is it
so it was like
silent?
It was like a beginner's meditation.
Yeah.
It's like Zen meditation, essentially.
Okay.
That's what they're walking you through. And essentially all you're doing is you're counting your breath.
Okay.
Yeah. But continue.
But yeah, counting the breath.
Yeah.
They had us form a circle, like, because it was a group of people.
Mm-hmm.
And what I thought was really interesting before we go into the meditation piece was observing people from different walks of life, different age, mm-hmm. different gender, you know, different beliefs, different situations, meeting at one place. People you otherwise would have never really met
mm-hmm.
or interacted with. We're now in sort of like a social contract of meditating together.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to say, like, seeing the reasons why people come to meditate was pretty eye-opening for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was I think, a lady that was dealing with, like, a family member that was dealing with stage 4 cancer
mm-hmm.
or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or another member where he literally was just tired of using a phone app for meditating, and he wanted to try out something a little bit more organic,
mm-hmm.
so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And me just not knowing what the hell I was doing, I was just coming here just to meditate for the sake of trying something new,
mm-hmm.
right? And I thought it was really interesting seeing everyone's different take and not expectation, but everyone's sort of mindset coming into this meditation.
Mm-hmm.
And then we basically, what was it, the instructor sat us down,
mm-hmm.
and we were forming a circle.
Mm-hmm.
And then just even teaching you how to sit in a way that's comfortable for you was really interesting. You know, you find out how unflexible you really are really quick once you like get into meditating. And I don't know, like, was there anything that you noticed before we went into the meditation in that circle, that group that we were in?
I think everything was very clean, minimalistic.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of Japanese Zen-inspired interior. Right. So like we would walk into the meditation room, but then there would be this curtain so that no one can like walk in and disturb the peace, you know. And I thought that to be a little pretty fascinating to kind of see that and how everything was like built around this idea of Zen and just like sitting there and meditating. Yeah,
it was really quiet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was nice to have the cushions. I actually just normally sit on like a yoga mat.
Oh,
yeah. I
must be hard on the.
Yeah,
joints.
But I normally have back support too, so
okay.
Like I like sit against like a couch or something like that and
okay.
have some back support. So that was nice to have those cushions.
Right.
Kind of makes me want to get one, but you know.
Yeah.
Anyways, kind of on a tangent there.
No, it was really interesting. They're showing us like things that we do with our hands. Like I don't even know what this move is called, but it's like some sort of.
Yeah, if for those of you who are listening, it's essentially like you put your was it the left on the bottom and then
right hand on top.
Right hand on top.
Your palms.
You open your palms and your thumbs are kind of like facing upward. So
yeah.
Imagine like you're doing like a triangle.
Yeah, you're forming a triangle with
yeah.
your two hands.
Correct.
With your palms facing upward.
Correct.
And
yeah.
Your thumbs attached.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah, there's just something very, very interesting about that because it almost forced me to kind of focus my energy
mm-hmm.
towards that point,
mm-hmm.
you know, and to kind of keep my posture upright.
Mm.
But essentially, the instructor, should I even say instructor, the Zen,
yeah.
the Zen master, the Zen leader.
I think she was like a Zen priest or something.
Zen priest, right?
Yeah.
She basically said, all right, so basically we're just going to count our breaths basically for an extended period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she had us on a 10-minute
mm-hmm.
Practice
mm-hmm.
first. And we pretty much just all sit in position,
mm-hmm.
but we didn't close our eyes.
Mm-hmm.
That to me was really interesting because I thought going in, oh, you would just close your eyes and just breathe.
Mm-hmm.
But she had us keep our eyes opened
mm-hmm.
and we're not really looking at anything. You're just kind of, I'm so not used to that, like just looking out and just zoning out, just blank stare. You're not really trying to look at something. Your eyes are just open.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really, really weird. It was hard for me to acclimate for the first minute because my eyes are just like wandering all over the place. Like, okay, like I need to focus on something. But then after a while, the breathing, if you're consistently counting and doing extended long breaths, you really quickly get out of that, like I need to search for something mindset. And then the weird part for me was a minute felt like an hour to me. I'm going to be honest. Like, although it was 10 minutes, it honestly felt like 10 hours for me
mm-hmm.
in that meditation session. I don't know if you felt that. Maybe you're more experienced,
mm-hmm.
so the time flew by quicker.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, like, about two-thirds of the way through, it could be more or less, but I felt like the room. This is going to sound really metaphysical or like
mm-hmm.
some crazy like psychedelic shit, but
mm-hmm.
I kid you not, like I felt like the room, the entire room and everyone around me went blank.
Mm-hmm.
Like it went white for a split second.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever seen like the Matrix movie
mm-hmm.
where like Morpheus is talking to Neo?
Mm-hmm.
Like he's like, you are now in the Matrix basically.
Yeah.
And they're in this open white space.
Mm-hmm.
Like you just, you don't see anything or anyone. Everything is completely zoned out. It's just you in the openness of this white space.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought, that is so weird. Like, am I out of my mind or something? Am I like tripping out? But then the initial temptation for me was to kind of, all right, snap out of it, snap back into reality. But then I kind of pondered a little bit more because it was still there. And I was just like, all right, just instead of trying to fight it or instead of trying to have any expectations of what you think meditation should be like, just accept it. Just observe it. Don't try to confront it. Don't try to manipulate it. Don't try to overthink it. Just accept it. And I think that to me was the coolest thing as a newbie, like meditator, was like learning to let go of everything for in the moment, just not thinking about anything in that moment. Is hard, man. I don't know how you guys do it, the people that meditate a long time, but like being able to get into a place in your head where you are able to empty your thoughts or not even think about thinking about a thought is so hard. It's super, super hard.
Yeah. It's definitely not normal, especially in today's generation where it's so easy to access information, right? It's so easy to entertain yourself. Like, it's unlimited, right? And it's really great to hear that you got that experience off of your first time, right? To be in a state where you're able to shut everything out, right? And for me personally, being a longtime meditator, going to that retreat, it was also something really like unique to me where, you know, I was sitting there and I've also had like a similar psychedelic experience, right? But mine was different than yours, right? And for me, when I was sitting there, I was looking at a 45-degree angle, and which happened there was like two of those meditation chairs in the center.
Those little like prop-up benches, right?
Those prop-up benches. Yeah. And I was looking at those benches, not really thinking much about it. And then as I like kind of stared off into space, the pads just started to like thin and then like disappear. And then like reappear. That's like kind of what happened first. I was just assuming that like I was just dazing.
Phasing in and out,
right? Okay. But my eyes were still open, right?
Okay.
And then at that point when I started to see that happening, I was like, whoa, like what's happening? Like, am I going blind or something? And I started freaking out. And then I kind of was just like, you know, just let this happen, kind of like you described.
Yeah.
Then I just started to see purple polygons with lines, because they're kind of like just like lines, and they're expanding from that center point like this. Yeah.
So you felt like this sort of violet radiance coming from that bench.
And then it just continued, right? And then like I would be freaking out and then it'll kind of like dim. But then for some reason, like it just kind of stayed there. And then my eyes got really watery and I just like, like a tear came down my right eye after that happened, like towards the end of it. Yeah. And then
that's how zoned out I was. I was sitting right next to you and I had no idea that like tears were being shed. I think everyone had their own like little moments.
For sure. There. It was very special.
What do you think of the group setting? Like, do you feel like, cause normally when you meditate, most people they're meditating on their own, but do you feel like for you, because you've done both, like meditating in a group has a special unique property to it, a unique power to it?
I think so, because when you're with other people, there's something special about setting that intention together to be in the moment.
Right.
Versus like when you're alone, I feel like you tend to think more to yourself than when you're with other people.
Right.
Right. Like when you're in the presence of other people, you're like either thinking about other people or you're engaging with them. Right.
It
you kind of have to put an effort to kind of just like zone them out. Right. And I think because we were in that situation with like these other people and the intention was just to meditate, there was almost like you said, like a social contract or social pressure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where we're like all trying to be really peaceful.
It's really ironic because when you're in a group of people, the natural inclination is to socialize. But we were put in a situation where you are supposed to do the exact opposite, which is just not be antisocial, but just cut out any and all form of communication
mm-hmm.
and just be quiet. Yeah. It is very hard to be in a room with a bunch of people sitting in a circle, eyes open, mm-hmm. not necessarily staring at each other, but just not talking.
Yeah.
I'm not talking for like 10 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. There's something actually pretty, it was hard to describe. But have you been meditating a couple of days after that?
I have. So 3 days.
Yeah.
Like 3 days in. And I would say it wasn't quite as powerful as that first day.
Mm-hmm.
There's just something about doing it in a group, for me at least, that like gives you that social construct to sort of really channel your energy and be very focused.
Yeah, I hear you.
I'm guilty. I'm gonna be honest. Like I've dozed off like my second day of like meditating, just kind of like catch myself like turning and moving my head, just because of like stiffness or whatnot, or just like readjusting my body way too much, and not being still.
Mm.
And I think for me, like, because I got lower back problems and like a tight hip, and like not having people around to kind of like just like, you're gonna be still, allow me to kind of just
you let yourself slack off.
I kind of slacked off or dicked around a little bit in the meditation. I had no phone in the room, but I was sitting down cross-legged. You know, I tried to find like some sort of pillow so that my ass wouldn't hurt, you know, in that period. But I just felt like I couldn't quite get to that zone that I did. But that's the important thing that you told me about, like, you know, that you mentioned about meditation, is like you should not like go into it expecting the same thing every time.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be different every time.
Yeah.
And you're going to find out things about yourself in that moment of silence every time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think with meditation, it's like there is no right or wrong way to do it.
Yeah.
As long as you're doing nothing. You get what I'm saying? It's like it's a different process for everybody.
Like, let the mind wander if it has to.
Correct. Yeah. And like something that, you know, if you catch yourself wandering, it's fine. Just like let it go and come back, right? The practice that I preach a lot, at least on this podcast and a couple of videos that I talked about, this is like using your directing to yourself as a third person. I think it's super helpful to let go of your thoughts. And then body scanning is another technique that I use to get me into the zone and into the state.
What's body scanning?
So like body scanning, essentially when you're sitting there and you're getting ready in the beginning of meditation, what you're doing after you count, you know, a few breaths and you're like already feeling pretty relaxed, you're going to go through your entire body again. And you start from like your neck, and you kind of like ask yourself, like, how does my neck feel? Is there any tension? And then like you wait to feel if there is any, and then you'll realize that there might be some tension there. And then you use your mind to let go of that tension. And then once your neck is done, you move down to your traps, and then you ask yourself, is there any tension? Then if you recognize that there's tension, you let it relax, right? And then you kind of do that, you know, with your chest, your lower back, your hips, your hamstrings, your calves, your foot. And then you bring like this awareness of your body and how your body feels. Excuse, there's a plane flying over right now. But you kind of just observe how your body feels. And for some reason, that exercise helps me be really, really present in, like, right before, if I do that right before meditation, it's a lot easier for me to stay present, right?
Wow.
And especially when distractions come up, I then just, for example, let's just say like, oh, my nose is itchy, or I feel like I have something in my ear, or my neck is itchy, and you want to scratch it, but you don't want to like get out of the state, right?
Right.
So like, I think that exercise is helpful in those moments too, because it's like, oh, why is it itchy there? And then you put your focus on that itch, and then like you let go of it first, and it just works. Like the itch just goes away.
Really?
And you can kind of just like control it. And then you just get back, on track. Yeah.
That's crazy, dude.
So it really helps when you just use your mind to get awareness of your body and like check to see if there's any parts of your body that feel uncomfortable. And then that helps you get into state. So like body scanning, and then when you're meditating, reference to yourself as like a third person. So when you come up with thoughts, it's like, oh, Stewart's thinking about this again. Oh, Kevin's thinking about this again. He doesn't need to think about this. And then when you detach yourself from yourself, it like really helps to let go of thoughts a lot easier versus like when you're pretending, when you are actually Stewart or when you are actually Kevin, it's like you're controlled by your thoughts versus someone else who can control that for you.
So you're in a way is like stepping out of yourself through a language pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And then that language or pattern metaphorically and also spiritually helps release you from your own thoughts.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
See, I never thought about body scanning.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably what I need to do because like you said, I had hip issues and like just tightness.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried, instead of trying to acknowledge it and just kind of relax it, I try to hold the position, you know, I try to hold the position and I think that causes the body to tense up even more.
Yeah. Well, don't get me wrong. You want to sit comfortably.
Yeah.
You're like if you're in a position that's making you really uncomfortable, you're not going to be able to meditate. If you like need to go to the bathroom super bad,
you can't.
It's going to be very difficult to meditate.
Mm.
So you like, you don't need to sit on the floor, lotus position with your hands in that. You can meditate like sitting on a chair, which I actually more often than not use a chair than sitting on the ground.
Mm.
Now I've changed to sitting on the ground for just various of other reasons, but you can still achieve meditation through any position.
So you can lay down?
Laying down I don't recommend because you just fall asleep. Yeah.
Even with your eyes open?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. And then when you're sitting on a chair, I feel like it's even harder to fall asleep. Like, you know, a chair.
Upright position.
Yeah, you can. I think if you have very tight hips, which I know exactly what you're talking about, and like, you know, if you have knee problems or anything like that, then using a chair is going to be the best ally. The best ally, yeah. Because that's not what's important. You know what I mean? Like, sitting in that position is not the point of meditation. The point of meditation is to clear your mind, to practice being present. Anything else that's going to prevent you from achieving that is like,
yeah,
you're missing the whole point there, you know?
And then I think going back to that, the practice that we had that day, was there any, we had a little talk or like
the Dharma talk.
It was kind of like the head guy, like the guy's been meditating for like what, 50 years?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Was there any like big takeaway that you got out of his like talk? There were a lot of golden nuggets.
A lot of golden nuggets. And I think the biggest takeaway that I had was when he talked about the dualistic mind and how it's the dualistic mind that causes our suffering. And it causes us to think that we're separate from each other. Right.
Mm.
So kind of an analogy that really blew me away was that like everything that I'm saying to you right now, everything I'm saying to you, Stewart, and to the listeners out there, my voice and who I am is in your head, right? And all of this information that you're processing, all of this audio that you're processing, where is it real to you in your head, right? So if I'm essentially becoming a part of you, right? Not separate from you. These words and these ideas and these opinions and these viewpoints that I'm sharing with you are essentially becoming a part of you. You internalize and interpret that, and that happens inside of you. But this existence that I am now is actually one with you, not separate from you, right? But what you control is how you respond and how you interpret it. Right.
Mm.
And so he kind of like talked about the dualistic mind and how like we in meditating, we're coming back to one, not two. Dual stands for two. Right. Two equals separation. There's one thing and there's another thing. When you come and you do meditation, you're coming back to the center. You're becoming singular again. You're realizing that everything happens within. And you're focusing on what's within. You're learning how to control what's within, right? And through that process of practicing that while sitting, you can meditate in every aspect of life. That's kind of what he talked about too. It's not just when you're sitting, right? It's like what you, when you're working, when you're talking to other people, like you can also meditate too. You can also be singular about that. You can also see it as how you're internalizing it. So if you're suffering, realize that you're focusing on the dualistic aspect of what you're suffering about, right? So like if I said something bad to you right now, if I said, Stuart, you're an idiot, right?
Right.
And then you feel like, oh, why would Kevin call me an idiot? Like he's a jerk, right? Then that emotion is something that you created yourself, right? And being that you see it as separate, that I'm causing you pain, meaning you think it is separate. It is outside of you. But in actuality, you're responding to my comment, you're an idiot, and feeling upset about that. But in actuality, it is only you which is creating that suffering. And that's what this idea of a dualistic mind is, right? When you think of us as separate, when it actually is just one, and that's yourself, and that's everything that happens within you. But when you're able to control what's within you and you choose happiness and you choose joy, is when you have infinite power, when you have mastery over
not succumbing to the duality.
Correct. Yeah.
I see.
So, yeah.
That may be tough for listeners to digest, but if you need to replay that, definitely, because I was going to share something, but I think you summed it up, part of what I was going to share, in a more poetic and even more thorough way, which is we choose to interpret things how we want to interpret it.
Mm-hmm.
No one is the decider for you of how you interpret things.
Correct.
And like a way to say it would be, life is not about what happens to you, but more so about how you respond to what happens to you.
Absolutely.
Because you cannot control what happens to you. We can't.
Correct.
But you have 100% control over how you respond to what happens to you, which is the self.
Correct.
Which is the study of, I guess, the whole Zen Buddhism thing, which is the study of the self.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Any call to action for the listeners?
Practice breathing. Practice counting your breath.
Yeah.
That's the best way to start.
That's your challenge. Yeah.
Count. Just count. Spend 10 minutes a day counting your breath, 1 to 10. If you lose your count, start back at 1.
With your eyes open. So sit in a still, quiet place where there's no distraction. Put your phone, put all electronic devices away.
Mm-hmm.
If you need to stare at the wall, the ceiling, the sky, you know, the pool, the window, whatever it is, even the mirror, like anything that you can look at, but just be still and just count your breath for 10 minutes. That's the challenge we want you guys to try out and see what you experience for yourself.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and would like to learn and know when we share our next episode, hit that subscribe button or hit that bell icon if you like to get notified. And if you're listening on the podcast, leave us a review. It helps us find more listeners like yourself. It's kind of the way we get discovered on the podcast platforms. Anything else to add, Stuart?
Breathe. Practice breathing.
Yes.
And we'll see you next time.
All right. Thank you.